because we got the report. Now, I believed according to Isaiah for 30 years that I can take a report, a bad report that is contrary to the Bible, and I can stand on it and fix my trust and my faith in God. And Isaiah said, whose report will we believe? And believe the report of the Lord. I mean, it's very important that we believe and don't waver. Now, I'm not just talking about in every now and then circumstances. See, and Sandy brought that up. It says faith without works, and one translation says actions. There's action with our faith that works, hallelujah. And it puts the kingdom in motion, and that's why a lot of people don't do it, because they're kind of like Thomas. They got to see before they believe. But Jesus said, blessed are those that believe and do not see. I mean, the Word of God is all the evidence that we need to know that we have victory. And that came up, and I mean, it was a bad report, and looked like that she's going to get put on a ventilator, and they saying she may not come off, or whatever the case. That reports are going to come to us. Well, on the inside, it just stirred me up, and I thought, but God, we're promised long, satisfied lives in the name of Jesus. And we come in agreement together, and that thing overnight turned around. Hallelujah. Reminds me that things one thing that I've learned, that I don't have to pray, you know, and decree something and see it that instant. I don't have to. See, you'll come to the point to where when you make firm stands on the Word of God, based on the Word of God, in God, that then you just rest in Him and you just know that it's going to come. You don't know, you may not know how, and you ain't going to try to figure out, because you already know the Word says, lean not to our own understanding in Proverbs 3. Somebody come to me one time, pulled up in my driveway, and Travis about 15 years old, 14, 15, and you know, you hear throughout the world saying, and just an instant, you know, but things are going to happen in your life to challenge God's Word. I don't care who you are. If you're going to move forward in God and you're going to have God's best for your life, Satan is going to make sure, and he uses people just like God does. He uses people. He uses people's ignorance. He uses people's believed lies, and they speak it. They say it. But, you know, and so, I mean, I heard when Travis was one, oh, you got the terrible twos coming. And I spoke over his life, and I said, I'll never see. The Bible says I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. I'll not see the terrible twos. I didn't see no terrible twos and threes and fours. I seen a boy be a boy, you know, and I seen a boy, you know, have to be trained and disciplined and taught and, you know, and all of that. That's normal. That's just the way it is. The Bible says train up a child in the way that they should go, he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. And I heard the report then up there when he was 15, you know. And I was believing and not wavering that he would not sow his oats like the world says. They're going to be rebellious teenagers. No, you don't have to be a rebellious teenager. And then you know, I thought, well, I'll bring quick discipline to that rebellion, because that's not normal as a teenager, because they've not been trained out to walk and honor their mother and father sometimes, you know, and so it causes them a lot of hardship in their life. But I was believing, you know, and somebody pulled up in my driveway. We were talking and talking about Travis. I said, oh, yeah, he's 15, you know. Oh, well, you know, he's going to come to the point where he shows his wild oats, you know, talking about go out in the world, away from the Lord and all that, you know, and everything. And I looked at him and I said, what Bible did you get that out of? You know, sometimes you got to be firm. What you believe, you just ain't going to sit there and let somebody believe that when you know different. You know, I said, what Bible did you get that out of? I got the King James and it don't say that. I said, my Bible says train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he won't depart. I said, that's what my Bible says. That's what I'm going to believe. Now, wherever you heard that, I was doing that. I wasn't trying to be rude with the dude, you know, but You drove up and brought me a seed that is contrary to the word of God. Words are seed. A report is a seed. A thought that you'll not have a future and a hope is a seed to get you to waver off of what the word says. That's what Satan did in Genesis. I mean, he come in there and contrary, said contrary to what God said. And she took it. And she believed it. It's because they wanted to be like God and all that stuff, you know. And she took that seed. She took that seed and she ate of it and she gave it to Adam. Spreading that lie. She just spread the lie. Now, she was deceived by that cunning craftiness. But see, we got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit today. We've got the Word of God that they didn't have. After Jesus, we got the epistles. We've got Paul walk through and experiencing the leading of the Holy Spirit and brought revelation to the body of Christ from Acts all the way. Now, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. He was talking about revelation knowledge that'll come to you as you take a firm stand on the Word and read the Word and fast. I would encourage every one of you to fast on a regular basis. Do some fasting. Do without food on a regular basis for your spiritual growth. It'll help the mind of Christ in you. It probably won't help you lose weight because you eat, you know, takes a little while. It takes a journey fast. Now that journey fast, I mean, you'll get skinny, whatever he was doing. Praise the Lord. But I mean, it'll help. The Bible says that this kind comes out, he's talking about unbelief, by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting will help kill unbelief. Why? Because you are a doer of the word. Jesus said, when you fast. People's told me, well, we don't have to fast anymore, you know, because Jesus has come. I said, no, Jesus told the disciples, when you fast, don't be as them hypocrites. Don't, you know, when you do these things, whatever you do in secret, just do it in secret, and I will reward you openly. You know what that means? You're going to see it. You're going to see it. I fast often and I tell the Lord, according to Isaiah over there, I say, Lord, thank you that this fast that you've chosen for us to fast, to humble ourselves before you, Lord, my health springs forth speedily on account of it. And others' health spring, Albert's, Lisa's health springing forth speedily. Whose fault is it her name's Albert? Oh, yeah? That's Monk. Teresa. My name was Scott Dot. My daddy called me Scott Dot. People try to pronounce my name. It's called Ursi. You know, and they'll say Hersey and all kind of stuff. And so I always tell them, it ain't my fault because you can't pronounce that. I didn't give it to me. Praise God. But fasting does you good. Fasting, you humbling yourself before the Lord. That is a part of leaning on the Lord. That is a part of trusting in the Lord, you know, letting Him know, which He already knows, but letting Him know that you are trusting in Him. You are longing for Him. You're wanting more. I heard that song again today on WDJC. I heard it again, you know. I couldn't love you more than I do, and I thought I can though, Lord. I mean, maybe they wrote the song and they're just so deeply in love with you and all of that stuff, Lord, but I can love you more, Lord. I know I can. Would you help me love you more? Hallelujah. The song's a good song and it's not nothing negative in there, but I thought I can love you more, Lord. I can sacrifice more for you, Lord. You know, I can grow more spiritually for you, Lord. See, Satan don't want me and you stable. He wants us come apart when things get rough. He wants us to lay down our faith. He wants us to lay down our confidence in the Lord when challenges come. See, I mean, I don't have a lot of problem, you know, until people get involved in their choices, you know. But I mean, I learned that way back under, you know, that I've got to learn to be stable even when other people are making choices that are putting pressure on me, whether they know it or they don't know it. See, none of that really matters, see. God was telling me, and I wrote down some things he was telling me this morning. He said, you got to be careful what you say. He was talking about me and my personal life. Be careful what you say. Pay attention to what you're saying. When things are not going good, don't say wrong things. Don't let wrong thoughts come and start complaining. He said, don't start complaining. He said, complaining will kill you spiritually. He said, complaining don't change anything. He said, how many miracles have you seen happen with complaining Christians? I said, none. He said, if complaining wrought miracles, he said, most of my body would be have supernatural things happening all the time. I said, that's not good, Lord. He said, don't let it be you. He said, don't start complaining. Don't complain about the jobs. Don't complain. Don't complain about the heat. Don't complain. Don't complain now when it gets cold. Don't start complaining when it gets cold. Don't complain when things don't go your way. Don't complain, you know, when interest rates go up and your payments are higher. Don't complain because steaks are $18 and I used to get them for $12. Don't complain because I used to get two for a dollar, you know, pork and beans, and now they're $2. Did he send us potatoes? He did, didn't he? Ain't none of us lost no weight other than fasting Johnny. We're blessed. We are blessed, hallelujah. And the reason we are blessed is because we're believers. Everybody is not going to walk in that. It is the ones that choose that Mark 9:23, that all things are possible to them that believe. And we are not from a stance of defeat to get victory. We are from a point of victory taking ground. We are already victorious in Jesus. Jesus makes it happen. Not wisdom, not money, not things. It's Jesus. It's the Word of God that makes us wiser than our enemies. Wiser than people in the world. That's why we don't take counsel from people in the world about our lives. The Bible says, sit not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't sit in the counsel. I don't care if they went to college and got 300,000 degrees. That does not make them have the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the ways of God. Anybody can make money. Anybody can work. Anybody can do all that, but it's the blessing that is endurance, that endures, that don't fade away, that can't be took away, that you can't get a pink slip out of, you won't get one out of heaven that says the economy's going down. The stock market dropped. I'm going to prosper. Are you going to prosper? That is absolutely up to you. I've seen my wife, when she wanted doors on the house, she went to the Lord and she told, I think she may have sowed a seed, wanted screened, I don't know if she did or not. But she mentioned it to me, and I just went on, you know, and all that, never, you know, and then all of a sudden she goes to the Lord, she begins to talk to the Lord about it and tell the Lord what she wants. And we've done about everything at our house that way. Block walls, roof, everything. And I'm going down the road one day and I just had this overwhelming desire to get her screen doors. She knows it's true. And it wasn't no shock to her. She got tired of messing with me. Max, she wasn't getting them. That wasn't that I really cared to have them. I mean, this was not a mandatory thing to me. It was just something we'll put them on there in one of these years. Well, she wanted them. I just had this overwhelming desire come up in me. Oh, I'm going to get her some screen doors. This was months and months later. What happened? All things are possible to them that believe. She couldn't even talk me into doing it. We didn't have the money to do it, actually. See, people of faith, you will think, they can be plumb broke, and you would think that they've got a bank full of money by standing around talking to them. I mean, you walk off, you're not careful, and you'll say, boy, they think they're something. No, it's not that. They're not broke on the inside. They're not defeated on the inside. Not enough money to buy a cold drink has not got them discouraged and oppressed. They're pressing in. And so you would think a person of faith, a teenager of faith, y'all teenagers, oh, I can't afford a car. You won't never get it. Or if you ain't a teenager, I don't know houses, I don't know if I ever been. You better watch what you say. Because your saying is going into your future if you are born again, and it is creating that harvest. The Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those that love what they say will eat the fruit of it. Jesus went and I believe Jesus knew there wasn't no figs on that confounded fig tree. But he was demonstrating something for us. Because the Bible says the time of figs was not yet. And I thought, man, he had to know it. But he's fixing to teach these disciples something. Well, he goes down there and he curses that fig tree. He said, from henceforth, no one will eat fruit from you. And he left, and nothing happened to that fruit tree. And some scholars say about 24 hours later, the disciples was walking by that fig tree, and that fig tree dried up from the roots, the Bible says. And the Lord, there is a message in that. Whatever is in your life, killing, stealing, and destroying, not feeding you, not bringing life to you, you need to be cursing it. You need to be speaking to it. I've had sin in my life and wanted it out and couldn't get it out for years after I became a Christian that I knew God wasn't pleased with. But you know what? I took Romans 8 over areas of my life over the years, and I've said, thank you, Lord, sin has no dominion over me. Thank you, Lord, sin. And it still had dominion. But what was I doing? According to Romans 4 over there, God calls those things that be not as though it was. So we need to curse those things. We cursed that sickness off of your daughter, Doris. We cursed it. That's what cursing it is. I don't know what all y'all said, but I was binding that spirit of death in the name of Jesus and commanding that body to live, that the glory of God will be revealed. And it was. And it is. And she will. God ain't brought this woman in your path because you're a lay down, don't do nothing Christian. He don't bring people into this place because we're just a laid back and let anything go and don't have no structure and all of that. He's bringing us here because we are warriors. We are warriors for Jesus. We are ambassadors for Christ Jesus. And we're not going to entangle ourselves too much in the affairs of this world that we will war a good warfare. That means that I'm not going to let business take me over. I'm not going to let the world's economy take me. I'm not going to let the world's way of thinking and saying and doing become a part of me. That don't mean that I'm better or nothing. I know where I came from. I was 27 years old and couldn't keep nothing together. Not a marriage, not work, not. I was a quitter at everything. And so I know where I stand today because of my choices in Jesus, in the Lord, on the Word, on His promises. And I'm not going to let 30 years go by and start thinking that he's lost his power, because he is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. What he did back under in 1997 in my life, he will do now in 2024 nearly. When faith is lost, experience is gone. When people lay down their faith and quit getting in that word, and you know, like Johnny got revelation about that. He got revelation, you know, thank you, Miss Teresa, for getting. You might think that's just a little saying there about being unified in the word, but it is in the Bible. He had to go down there and give them, break up their languages at the Tower of Babel, because they was all in one mind and had a mind to build that thing. And he had to go down and put a stop to it. The Bible says they had a mind to work. Y'all teenagers, you know you need a job? Go find one. Every one of us need to save money as Christians. I was in the shower and the Lord said, I told you to save $5 a week. I said, yeah, Lord, and I told you I couldn't afford it. Buddy, that was in 1990-something. I don't know. We was wanting to be givers, you know, and every time we'd go, we wouldn't have much to give the evangelists and stuff that's coming through, you know. And so, I don't know, we'd run across it, Teresa did or I did in the Bible, you know, where Paul said, lay up a portion that I won't be a burden when I come, you know. And so, we started, was it $5? $5 a week. We started saving $5 a week. And we would not touch that, and we was broke all the time. We wouldn't touch that, because when the evangelists come through, we would have $25 or $30 saved up. And we could give $25 or $30 an offering. You know? And then we go on, and the Lord, I mean, I was thinking about it. I thought, Lord, if I save $20, if somebody saves $20 a week, cut out McDonald's one time. Save $20 a week. You know, that's $80 a month. That's $800. That's $900 a year. I thought in 10 years they would have $10,000. See, you can't think like I've got to save a big amount. God anoints whatever you do. He anoints it. And he'll increase you, and before you know it, you'll see that thing, Bill. And you, I mean, I got Travis. Talk to him a little, you know, open back. Boy, the more he's seen that thing grow, I mean, he's like, whoo, he's getting excited now. It's been quite a few years, you know, and I mean, he's saved a pretty good bit of money in quite a few years. It don't take a lot. That's called stewardship. Every one of us need to have about 5 or 6 months laid up for, if something happened, we could pay our bills for 5 or 6 months without a job. I know that seems impossible, but don't know. Is that Mark 9:23 still too? Luke 9. No, it's Mark, ain't it? Mark 9:23? I can save some money. I've had people to tell me that this was a major scripture I used in the pioneering of this church, when somebody would tell me I can't sing. And I would say, no, the Bible don't say that. It says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Everybody heard that scripture just about that told me that they can't. I would say, no, that's not what the Bible says. And I was firm on it, and I convinced a bunch of them that I can. I didn't. That scripture did. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Once you know that God can and will do it, that is faith in his will, and that works. That works. So all of y'all save some money. I mean, if God wants you to buy me a Corvette, how are you going to do it broke? Oh, sure, we'd like to have buy Scotty a Corvette. Don't be saying that and whining next year. Say, you want me to get it now, Lord? Now, I'm being a little funny. I don't want a Corvette. If I want one, I believe God for one, you know. But see, the Bible says that we are wiser than the devil. I mean, he'll keep you thinking broke. You can't afford. No, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors over poverty and lack. We are more than conquerors over lack. This church is not lazy. Might be a few of y'all teenagers got a little lazy streak, but most of us done whipped it. And if you got lazy in you as a teenager, get it out. Do not be lazy. The Bible says the hand of the diligent will bear rue, but the lazy will be put to forced labor. That's not my saying. And that works. I have seen it. I've seen it. You know, so don't be lazy concerning work. And I'm not. I don't have to go to work with Travis now. I pay them. You know, but I'm like, good Lord, what am I going to do, man? Sit down here. How many movies can I watch on Monday? You know? I couldn't there for a little while. Lazy tried to set in, and I went to work, you know, and thought, oh, man, I know how Travis feels. So I told him, I said, I know how it feels now. Why? I said, I'm feeling kind of lazy like you. It's feeling pretty good, like stay at home. I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to work, you know. I don't want to go the extra mile with nobody. That's lazy. And so I dive in there and praise the Lord and, you know, just keep on working. Hallelujah. Why? The hand of the diligent. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to bear rule over this body. This body's not going to have arthritis. This body's not going to be all stoked up and all of that, you know, and caning this and caning that. I'm not preparing for a cane. Now, if I listen to all of them, Jacks, I'm 57. 57. Man, I'm telling you. Them cows wear you out. You got to watch them farmers, boy. They don't mean nothing by it. But you know, I'm like, oh, Jesus. I got up one day, left my breakfast. I said, I got to get out of here, man. I'm telling you right now, I'm getting a bad vision in here. Praise God. I thought, because the Satan will tell you. And people have absolutely told me, you know, this is what you've got to look forward to. Is that contrary to Scripture or what? It is. Their experience is what you've got to look forward to. You've got to watch that stuff. You create an image of defeat in your mind through the experience of others. That's why God told me, and we're equipped with that word, never believe based on somebody else's experience. Because they may have made wrong choices. They may have, I mean, I used to go pile up medicine for my glands swelling up in the medicine cabinet. You know how much I've got there for your glands swelling up now? None. I don't plan for it. It ain't coming on me. I laid my hands on it, and I've done it more than once, and I cursed it to the roots, just like the fig tree. See, we have the victory already. And y'all know that. When I come here, if you've been here any amount of time at all I'm doing is stirring up what you know. That's all I'm doing is stirring up what you already know. You may not get no big new revelations. Just walk in the revelation that you have, and it's enough to sustain you. It'll sustain you. You might not like your circumstances, but you don't have to start complaining. I wrote this stuff down. I just don't want you to write it down where you won't forget it. You might not like where you at, but complaining will keep you there. Complaining will keep you out of God's promises. He proved that out in the wilderness. And Jesus could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. And I guarantee you they was complaining. Don't you know this is Jesus? Jesus, the one we're raised with, doing miracles. I don't know what I was saying. He couldn't do no mighty works because of unbelief. You know, faith will not complain. If you start complaining, you know you're out of faith. Because faith believes. Faith is positive. Faith takes, I mean, this glass is, say it's half full of water. Somebody that is not in faith, they say, well, you just got a half a cup. But you will look and say, I got a half a cup, man. There's a difference in what you see. Well, it's not full. Yeah, but it ain't empty. I know the report's bad on Lisa, but I wouldn't take it. I was not going to take it. I wouldn't take it with my mama. When I went on a fast and I'm fasting for y'all. Fast for y'all. I'm fasting and saying, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm here. I'm yours to command. You know, whatever you want, praise the Lord. You know, if you want me to go to the hospitals, lay hands on people, I will. If you want me to go to the nursing home, I got a connection. I bet you I could go. Reckon I could? See there? What would we do around here? Faith it. We trained you what to do. Well, if I'm not here and God wants for me to go, me and Teresa to be off over yonder in Zimbabwe, well, y'all didn't know what to do. I don't know if we can. Don't start that. I'll have to get the Philippians 4 for you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're not coming in your own strength. You're coming in the strength of the Lord God Almighty. You're coming in His name. You're coming in the authority of the name of Jesus. You have the blood of Jesus. We heard it through Sunday school about there's power and life in the blood. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You might not like what choices other people make, and this is a big one. I mean, I felt it real strong whenever I wrote this one down. You might not like what choices other people make, but you don't have to start complaining. Complaining about what other people do is getting your faith from the back door. It's like the enemy put a front out there, and here you go, pulling the plug out of your faith, and it's not the devil. I can do it all the time at work if I want to. People order wrong doors, companies order wrong doors, and cost money. It costs you money, you know, and everything. And if I'm not careful, I'll get in the same bitter spirit they are. Same bitter spirit the world has, and faith will not work in that bitter realm. I can't get bitter at people on the road with their dumb driving. I started to ask somebody the other day around here, to, you know, when I told them to get over and move and they nearly run over me, I just almost said, roll your window down. Where did you get your driver's license? A Cracker Jack box? Can't you see the arrow? And I thought, I'm not going to get in a wrong spirit with these people around here. I'm here under the anointing, breaking the door, destroying these yokes, and I could come and I could talk all day long about some of the stupid things that people do. And and you could too, at work, your workplace, even at home. You know, don't start complaining. God is saying it very strong. If you are, repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for being a complainer, God. God, in the Old Testament, they complained and didn't get to the promises. They've been having you work for them, Lord, and do miracles. He showed me. He said, in the wilderness, he says, miracles will not cause you to have faith. He said, I showed signs, wonders, and miracles. He said, I've done it for God, for my people for years, year after year after year. He said, and then they want to start complaining. Complaining is not endurance, it's surrender. The Bible says, endure hardship, not as a bitter soldier. A good soldier, endure hardship. As a good soldier, it says that you may war a good warfare. He says, endure hardship. Complaining is surrendering to what you're complaining about. It is total surrender to that circumstance. Can you see it? I couldn't until he spoke that to me. And I said, I didn't see, Lord. I'm sorry. I had to repent over some stuff. Lord, I've been complaining, and that's me surrendering. No wonder I've got no victory. Complaining will cause, it is a surrender to that. Faith speaks to that. See, Jesus spoke to the fig tree. He didn't surrender to it. Oh, I can't believe ain't no food here. Have y'all not put any fertilizer? I mean, have y'all not took care of the fig tree? See, he could have started complaining. Jesus could have complained that he was hungry and didn't have no food in this stupid fig tree. Seriously, he was a man like we are, walking by the same spirit we are, you know, under the same power that we have. He was stripped of being God, so the body can't claim, well, that was Jesus. No, Jesus stripped himself of being God, the Bible says, and became a mere man. His ministry started at 30. And he walked just like me and you in the sin, going to church, hearing, submitting to his parents. And when they did, when he didn't, they went and got him and made him. Y'all teenagers, submit. If you're living at home, submit. Don't get rebellious and argue with your parents. Man, quiet in here. Y'all doing it. You got to repent. That's complaining. You think this thing is just for adults? Jesus was 13 years old when that happened. David was 13 years old when he went and killed Goliath for the body of Christ. He was a teenager. Y'all teenagers have got no excuse to be laying down the sword. Fight for your parents. They raised you. My card didn't work, I don't know, a month or two ago. And so I decided every now and then, Travis and guys working for me, you know, I'll say, put it all, I don't ever look what they got, I just like, put it up there. You know, and I'll just buy the food, you know, I'll just buy the food. Well, this day I was going to do that, and my card wouldn't work. And so, Travis, he comes bopping it through there, you know, and I'm thinking, hey, you know. Well, I waited till he got his card out, and I said, put it all on there. He's got a business card, but he don't take it at liberty to use that. He won't use it without asking me. Even putting gas in my truck, he calls, how much gas you want, Dad, or whatever, you know, he won't use it. That's honor is what that is. But you know, I told him before, don't steal change out of my console right there. That's mine. And if you take it without asking me, you stole it. I taught him that when he's driving my truck and stealing my quarters. Don't take it on your own. I don't care if I got $30 laying there. I thought I got to teach him the right way. You know, and so I tell him, if you take any of that right there, you stole it. We teach in Aubrey. He borrowed some of her money out of something, and she told him, Dad, didn't ask you. Dad, you stole it. See, this stuff is, I mean, it. I know it's funny when it happens, but it's real. And so I told that, he said, yeah, you want to put it all? I said, yeah, man, put it all on her. I said, it's about time I get some of my money back out of him. I said, I've got about $2 million in him. Dude standing over here, he looked at Travis and looked at me, and he said, you probably got more than that than him. praise God. But you know what? He ain't a bum. He went to borrow some money off Teresa one time, and I don't know, need to borrow $20 or whatever, and go down there to Mom, going to go to Mom. So he goes down there to Mom, you got $20? Yeah, I got a bunch of quarters in there. Go give him a bunch of quarters. He's embarrassed to spend the quarters. So he don't go to Mom. Mom wants him to go roll quarters. Oh, you rolled them? that'll smack you down right there if you're a teenager with a little problem. That'll get you right there. I got to go to the store and spend quarters. This is embarrassing. Well, people do it all the time. They stand there and dig in their pocket, and you go complaining because they're digging out 29 cents over $3, and it's taking them 45 minutes. Or they got to go to the car and get their purse, and they done rung up, so they got to, well, you got to wait on them to get back. And then the phone rings, and they're on their way going out to get their purse, and then they start talking, and then you're there waiting. Oh, somebody, God will cover every area that can get us. Hallelujah. He wants me and you complaining. Why? Just like I was preaching a while ago, and we all excited because we're at a place of standing in victory, going forward and taking ground. But these things right here, Isaiah said, the small foxes spoils the vine. The small things, a lot of times in our life, will get the root drying up for us. And complaining is one of them. I have no God-given right to complain about anything. Now, I can, and I'm working on it, and I shouldn't, praise God. And when we feel like we have a right, man. We feel like we have a right to complain. I mean, this is reasonable for me to come unglued about this. No, that's not reasonable. That drains our faith. That drains us. Complaining about things we can't change hurts our faith, our testimony, and our strength. The things we cannot change. I mean, I want to go around all the time complaining about the border. Do you realize what kind of mess that has caused for this world? That we have not only started to see the results in the southern states. We're going to see the results of food shortages. I mean, how are we going to feed all these millions of people? See, I could complain every day about that and the administration, but you know what? It's only going to hurt me because my God will supply all of my needs according to His riches. I don't care how many million come in here if I stay in faith and do our part. If you don't vote, you need to get registered to vote, and you need to pray, and you need to fast for your nation, your freedom, praise God, and go to the polls and vote for the ones that have godly, God-like character. That's how we do it. We pray, and we cast our vote. Then we get the results of our praying and our voting. See, Satan don't want me and you involved in the White House. He don't want Christians involved. That is why they're being so suppressed. That is why, your hairstylist could stay open but close the church. We got to look good, but we can't be good. They handpicked what they wanted. They did a trial run to see how far Satan could push the church under. And darn well did it for a bunch of them. But they were those, like me and you, that wasn't satisfied without coming together, that felt like we've lost something, that felt like this is not the will of God. The body began to rise up, and this time they're on the forefront with this coming up election. They're engaged in praying and fasting and covering the body, the administrations now, instead of complaining. See, we're hurting ourselves by complaining. We're laying down our faith like God can't move in an ungodly world. God can move and is and will move in an ungodly world. God is a big God. Hallelujah. He's not sitting up there thinking, oh my God, the battle is lost. No, He's speaking to me and you, rise up, endure hardship as a good soldier. Don't complain about your little circumstances that are going on. Get built up to where I can take you to the glass, so I can take you to where you're taking down strongholds over cities. You're taking dominion in my name. Hallelujah. I mean, if we're not careful, we will live in the moment. You know, somebody was helping me load some cows the other day. This one cow, she wants out, man. And she breaks down a brand new gate for me, just dives on it, and just crushes it in. She gonna jump on me to get over the gate. She ain't trying to hurt me. So I told that person, I said, listen. I said, now if you're going to help me, I said, we're not in a hurry. Don't the Bible say be anxious for nothing? Well, I got to take it down to the cows, right? Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. I said, don't, we got to be calm. and cool. I said, where they trust us. They don't get scared. I said, because if you get them all scared and anxious, I said, they're going to hurt you. I said, they're going to hurt all of us. They're going to hurt us, you know. See, getting them anxious like that, Satan knows if he can get you anxious, if he can get you worried, if he can get you complaining, that he can hurt you. He can get you to hurt yourself. He don't have the power to do anything to us other than suggest or get somebody speaking negative words and us take that seed and start planting it in our life, start thinking, well, that makes common sense. There's nowhere I can find in Scripture. I've heard God's people say, a lot of them, not all of them, you know, we got to use common sense. And I've asked a bunch of them, what's that? What does that mean? And then they're like, you put a new gate up and they're staring at it. Is this a new gate? They don't have an answer for what they're believing. They can't tell me what using common sense is. What, to be afraid? Fear is not common sense. Fear is a spirit. And God has not given us a spirit of fear. I told some of them, I said, well, y'all use common sense if you want to, but it messed my life up for 27 years. My wisdom, my common sense, you know. I said, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says use common sense. As Christians, it says those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Common sense sent me to Tennessee running away from a tornado, and the sucker turned and followed me up there and didn't even go to my house. And then I thought about the Scripture that I preached to the body of Christ and that I preached to everybody when they were in fear. And I'd say, you know, the Bible says over there in the book of Job that the very thing that he feared come on him. And it hit me up there. Oh, the very thing I feared come on me. You know what? I've never jumped in my truck and run from one of them suckers again. Like God, when I hear James Spann over the ocean out there might come to the United States, and he does it every day. This is hurricane season. Did you know that? You know where I got that? James Spann. This is hurricane season. And then I want to go in there and get glued on the hurricane. Which one is it, Ivan or Elsie? They got them old big bad Elsie's coming up. Well, when I see it out there, I speak to it and I say, you ain't coming nigh my dwelling in the name of Jesus. I command you to die out there in that ocean. You will not kill, steal, and destroy. You will not come and take anything of mine and destroy it. Well, I could get down. Oh, my God. Oh, let's get a prayer chain going on Facebook. God, pray again. God, please, if you can, stop that tornado. That's not praying. That's begging God to do something that he told you to speak to. That's not using your authority. You use your authority. You use your authority, teenagers. I mean, y'all getting it from, it ain't God getting you. God said, stop rebelling against your parents. He said, honor your father and mother. And it is the first command that he gives you as a teenager with promise. Well, they're just told, don't start that. We all went through that. You'll have kids one day and they're going to tell you the same thing. And you won't have fallen in it as a teenager. And then you will be a man and you will teach them that, no, we're not old fogey. We're wise. We're wise to the things that you think you want and know, and we know that if you go there and you do that, that is not going to be well with you. We are helping you. Hallelujah. So, teenager, you're young men. You are not babies in diapers. You've not got a bottle anymore. Your mustache is coming on. And I mean, I know you want to shave and look like us. You know, some of you. But the more you shave, the thicker it gets. The harder it gets. And then you wish that you had backed down yonder and didn't have it. Hallelujah. So it's coming. Just be young men. Serve the Lord. Serve Him with gladness. I'm talking to people all over the world. You will help your parents be successful. You will help your parents succeed. And if they succeed, your life is going to be a lot better. They're supposed to be laying up an inheritance for you, and you're trying to get away from them. They're going to spend it before they give it to you if you don't watch yourself. Teresa said, amen. Aubrey, she didn't raise her voice. She felt like she did. She got a little upset with me one night. Not really upset. She just, you know. And so I go in there, and she's laying there on the bed. She said, Papa. And I said, yeah, baby. I'm sorry, Papa. I said, what's that for? Because I raised my voice to you, Papa. I said, well, baby, it's okay. Papa forgives you. I said, just don't let it happen again. Just don't do it again. It's okay. Just don't do it. What am I doing? I'm teaching her. And now, because she has that respect, when she does do it, it's conviction. It's conviction to her at 8. And she needs that. I need that. You need that. For you to yell at your parents and you have no conviction, your heart's hard. Because your parents love you. I don't care if they wasn't the best parents in the world. Maybe they love you the best way they know how, and you need to appreciate that. You need to appreciate that they love you. Because you know what? I mean, at 17, 18 years old, when you become a man, they could kick you out. Get your bags, Jack, and leave everything but your underwear so you don't go to jail for jaywalking. Because we bought all you've got, and we want to keep all you've got. So just leave everything. They could do that to you. You could call the law, and they say, well, you're a man. What did they do it for? Are you rebelling? Well, maybe we need to put you in juvenile and help you not to rebel. Then you would know, I don't know why I'm having to say all that, but then you would know what freedom really was. You was at home. Woo-hoo, yeah, baby. I was already free. See, Travis hearkened one time. The Lord told me, he said, go tell him. He said, the enemy is trying to make him feel like he's under rules and bound and regulations and he wants free. He said, you go tell him he's already free and Satan is trying to bind him. So I went to Travis. I said, I know we got rules here, son. You're going to bed at 10 o'clock. You know, you're not going to stay up all night. And if you get up, mom hollers at you and all of that. What are you doing in there? Get out of the refrigerator. Don't turn the lights off. You're making a mess. Pick up the garbage. Go outside. Shut up. I said, I know. You know, I said, but you're already free, son. And Satan's trying to bind you up. You're already free. How many knows all of us has regulations? I mean, Johnny, I'm not going to stay up to 1 o'clock. I got to go to work the next day. That's a rule here. Now, I cannot play that game, and golly, bum, I get up, and I feel like I've been drunk for 3 days. And it takes me 2 days napping and getting all the sleep to get caught up. You know, I mean, I pay my water bill and light bill because I like to drink and I want to keep the air on and all of that. I mean, there's rules. I mean, when you become a man or a woman and you get married, you're going to put up with a lot more stuff than you are right now. We know what we're talking about. I got 38 years. I'm a veteran. Praise God. And I still have to use my faith after 38 years. Just today. Our life's really funny to me. I told her yesterday, I said, now we need to lay that bill. Don't talk to me about that building right now. You know them times whenever you get tired of making choices and you just don't want to make no choices. You know that, she said, this is that day for me. And I'm like, well, it's just tell me where you want to stop, drove down. It's real simple just to stop, man, so I can go dig the dirt down and get that building started, you know. So I thought, well, let well enough alone. And so I thought, well, I could go over there and haul some of that church. So I just brought it up, you know. I said, well, you know, I said, I'm going to build that up and bring that white dirt in there and build that up and driveway, make it good and all that. He said, I thought we talked about that. I said, uh-oh, that was not right words that I used. Something's up with this picture. I said, well, just talk to me. Just talk to me a second. All I was doing is talking. Now, y'all see what I'm talking about? Y'all teenager, you see what I'm talking about? 38 years. You would think that she wouldn't do that. But no. It's still coming. And so I says, well, come on now, talk to me. I said, all I was doing was talking. I said, you know how I'm just talking. Well, I mean, I was thinking topsoil down to that tree. And I said, that's what I'm talking about. We're going to get topsoil down to that tree and all of this, you know. Well, I know it, but I mean, I'm planning. You know, I don't plan not to do nothing. I mean, I just don't plan not to do nothing, so I like to express my plans, you know. I make her tired talking, she said. And I tell her all I'm going to do. And I've done a bunch of it, and I'm still going toward it, you know. And so I says, oh, yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So then I'm like, where am I going to get some topsoil? You know, I've got to get some topsoil up in and around here. You know, and I thought, well, I don't get the topsoil right now because I'll have all this mess when I'm building that building running in and out, and I don't need to do that. I need to wait a last to do that, you know. But I'm already thinking, where am I getting some topsoil, Jenny? They's going to be top. My baby's going to have it to the tree. Why? I believe a happy wife, a happy life. I believe that. I heard that out of Jesse Duplantis 27 or 8 years ago, and I thought, he's a henpecked, what it is. He's got to be henpecked. Happy wife, happy life, you know. Well, I found out as I grow in the Lord, love your wife as Christ so loved the church, and she just ain't going to have something, and I can't argue no more, can't whine, you know, fight no more. Happy wife. I believed it. And so I set out to make my wife happy as much as possible. As lies in me, live peaceable with all men. Why? Because I am in a place of victory and I'm going to take ground. I'm not going to let what I'm facing that I really don't like cause me to come unglued in the areas where the enemy can come in and steal my joy, steal my peace, steal my future, steal my prosperity. He would like to use that little thing. I'll close with this. See, enjoy your life. Right now. Don't wait till next year till things change. No, enjoy your life. Right where you at. Paul and Silas did it in prison, beaten, whipped, and thrown in iron, and they begin to praise God at the midnight hour. And here come the power of God, shook the prison, and let out all the prisoners could have left there. The power of God comes on praising him. And not just here at church. Went and got a haircut. See how short it is? They talking, I think, and they cut one side too short and have to go over there, and I think they forget how short that one is. So then when they get around, it ain't even, so they have to go back and cut a little more off. Time you get done, you ain't going to need a haircut for 6 months. I told Johnny when I come in, I said, I'm almost like you. Teresa, she said, she goes and picks the grandkids up, she come back, and I'm standing out there by the road like I'm going to catch a bus, you know. I done made it all the way to the road. She goes and picks him up, and then she comes back and picks me up. She said, how long have you been standing there? I said, 5 or 10 minutes. That long? She said, it usually don't take you. I said, well, it didn't take me long to dry my hair. That's what I told her. She said, whatever. Go in the beauty parlor, getting a haircut, and they talking about all that. And they was talking about some things, inquired of the Lord, saying something, and then I brought up marriage to people. I said, there's a lot of people facing a lot of things, you know, and hard things going on, you know, and all of that. I said, but God is he's up on it like that, you know. And that one said, yeah, her marriage. I said, yeah. I said, you know, I said, us as Christians, I'm not talking to the world. I'm in a beauty parlor. They're Christians. I said, us as Christians, I said, I think like this. I said, because of what the Bible says. Teresa, my wife Teresa, would be a fool to leave me. And they went, there's a dude sitting over there, and I'm not even paying him no mind. He's going to get a haircut. And I said, and you know what? I said, if she's serving the Lord, if my wife Teresa's serving the Lord, I said, I would be a fool to leave her. I said, we would both be fools to let something come in. I said, but why I say that is, I said, but anybody that is Christians or none can let the devil in any time you want to. I said, you can start believing lies. You can start meditating on them lies. And before you know it, them lies become true to you. And then they tear down and they destroy. I said, but us as Christians, I said, our partners ought to be very, very thankful that they have us. I said, y'all need to think that way about yourself. I said, I think that way about myself. Some of y'all don't feel like you were 10 cents. What does the Bible say about you? You don't even know. Get in there and find it. The Bible says that you are the apple of God's eye, that you are a chosen generation. Put your name in there and say, I am this. I am chosen. I'm the chosen generation. I'm precious to you. You knew me before I was born. You knew my beginning and you know my end and you know everything. Get your confidence built up because He created you in His image and likeness not to go along with this world. In the world system. The school has got it. In school, I guarantee you in school, you're going to have to make sure you know who you are so that you don't have to fit in with the so-called cliques in there without God. You don't need that. You need Jesus. You need His peace. You need His guidance. And you can change the school. Well, they get in trouble for praying. So what? If I'm going to teach my kids and grandkids to pray, let them get in trouble. If they want to pray, they're going to pray. What if they call the principal? Call the principal. I'm not a troublemaker. I tell the principal, if you'd go to church, you'd want to pray too. If you'd get right with Jesus, you'd want them kids to know Jesus. But you don't know Jesus, and you don't know what we know. Jesus is freedom. And without God is bondage. There'll come a day we will have to stand up. Somewhere, some down the line, that's why God's building us up now. Not that the Bible says the righteous are bold. It don't say they're mean and hateful. But we are bold in what we believe, praise God. And we're willing to die for Him, ain't we? Amen, praise God. Let's bow our heads.